it will be by Malika Roman Isler.
In this particular presentation, we're looking at perceptions, barriers, and facilitators to rural minority participation in clinical trials. And again, I have no personal financial relationships with commercial interests to disclose. The literature strongly indicates that racial and ethnic minorities are underrepresented in clinical trials, and specifically HIV/AIDS trials. And some of the barriers to participation include issues of lack of information about the clinical trials, mistrust in medical research, the time and distance required to travel to a clinic site, and not having appropriate access to health care. But the literature is still kind of sparse on rural minorities and their HIV/AIDS trial participation, particularly as it relates to their perceptions of clinical trials. And so with this analysis, we're seeking to know, how do rural PLWHA think about clinical trials, and what weighs into their decision regarding participation? The data sources for this are the focus groups that we conducted with a cross-section of community leaders and service providers, and the individual interviews with persons living with HIV and AIDS. For analyses, the text data were analyzed in a back-and-forth approach between discovery and verification of findings and then thematically grouped. Based on our respondents' descriptions of what a clinical trial is or represents to them and how they make a decision on whether or not to participate, we identified two categories of factors that influence their decision-making. One is the pre-participation factors, and those are the things that allow one to or keeps one from participating in a clinical trial. And then those post-participation factors, and those were the pros and cons of having participated or not. Some of the factors that we saw that were revealed by participants could be pre or post, and it really depends on the respondent's framing, and I'll give you some more examples of that as we go through the presentation. So this is what our model looks like. Decision-making for clinical trial participation is actually an intersection of those two categories. The pre-participation factors are actually facilitators that allow them to participate and the barriers that keep them from participating. And then on the post-participation end are the factors, the positive and negative outcomes that they view as a result of having participated. And again, these aren't necessarily mutually exclusive, but placed depending on the framing of the respondent. So the pre-participation barriers identified by our respondents include interactions with their current medication regimen. For those who were already doing well on their current medication regimen, they had concerns about how the trial drugs may affect their health or interact with their current medications. We also included here those who weren't currently taking medications, because if they're already doing well and not needing meds, why should I enroll in a trial and take a medication if I'm already doing well? Experimentation. Several respondents associated clinical trials with the familiar term of guinea pig and being used and tested. There were also lots of concerns expressed about receiving a placebo instead of being able to get the real drug, and that being part of the experimentation, as well as discomfort with the unknown nature or the unknown outcomes with being in a clinical trial. Is it really going to make me better? What's going to happen as a result of my participation? Conspiracy theory. Of course, there were several references to the Tuskegee syphilis experiment and a pervasive sentiment that clinical trials usually have ulterior motives and people who are administering them aren't truthful about what they're really doing. Conspiracy theory also related to the belief that there's already a cure for AIDS and that it's being purposefully withheld, particularly from communities of color. Life conflicts. These involve the time commitments largely required for participation and how that conflicts with their work schedules, access to child care when they're participating, the lack of availability of social support and transportation to support their ability to participate, particularly when it's at a major medical center outside of their community. Their current health status. Again, for those who were already doing well, they didn't want the possibility of becoming sick as a result of participating in the trial. Their current emotional status. Some respondents spoke about already having lost hope or feeling fatalistic, and that was a deterrent to their participation in a trial. There's connection with the staff who administered the trial. When they perceived the staff to be impersonal or that they would be treated as just another number, they were unlikely to want to participate. transportation, which is a theme throughout all of our presentations, when respondents lack their own transportation or access to transportation, it of course presents a barrier to participation. And then level of invasiveness. Several respondents talked about their adverse feelings to needle sticks and blood draws, anything that was invasive. And last, their post-trial medication access. If they thought that they wouldn't be able to continue on the trial medication once the trial was over, either through issues of accessibility or affordability, this presented a barrier to their decision to participate as well. Looking at the facilitators, simplifying their medication regimen. A lot of people talked about if they're already on 3 pills a day, if they can get down to 1 pill a day as a result of being in the trial, then that's more of an incentive or a way to facilitate them participating in a trial. Altruism, those who wanted to help in any way they can, they talked about promoting hope and wanting to make a difference for others, and that would be a reason for them to participate. The prospect for improved health, for those who were doing poorly with their health and running out of treatment options. I've tried all the classes of drugs. I don't have anything else to try. Participating in a clinical trial gave them another option. Issues of access, that they would have access to care and medication, particularly for those who were low income or uninsured and didn't have access otherwise. And then, of course, incentives, access to things such as money, trips, or other types of incentives that were provided as a result of being in the clinical trial. Some of the representative quotes of our barriers, particularly for experimentation, we need a guinea pig. They're talking about this is how researchers think. We need a guinea pig or somebody that will come in here, let us practice on them. But like I say, clinical trials to me is like being a guinea pig. Conspiracy theory. This is a really telling one. I really do believe they really do have a cure, but it's just like lawyers and everything else. If they don't have any criminals, they can't make any money. They're making millions of dollars every day off medications. Why are we going to hurry up and find a cure when we're making all this money? So when participants seem to think or had thoughts around both of these as well as the others, it really hindered their likelihood to participate in a clinical trial. Representative quotes of the facilitators. Related to simplifying their medication regimen. They come up with a new drug that can reduce their regimen down than what they already taken. And this person was referring to examples like going from 3 pills a day to 1 a day. And sometimes what you're taking, it's not effective. So you have to try something else to see how that would work. I think a clinical trial would be a good idea. Altruism. If I can help any what kind of way, I'm good. I will help. I want to be one of the ones that's possible to save the next person if they can find something through me to help. We look at the post-participation factors, and again, those are the things that happen as a result of them having been in the trial or the pros and cons of them participating or choosing not to. The positives include cure, access to a cure or at least slowing down their disease progression. Altruism again, when they feel better about themselves for having participated in the trial and having been helpful in contributing to the literature and the research. Medication or medical assistance, as a result of participating, they become better linked to medical care and medication and also have the possibility of having other medical conditions diagnosed. Learning. They will have learned more about their condition or their options for treatment and will have helped others to learn more about their condition. Access to support services, and these include support services such as case management or support groups that they may not have had access to without participating. And then collateral benefit, which is really anything outside of the medications, such as money, gift cards, co-pays for other medications, transportation, hygiene kits, or access to food. Some of the negatives include seeing it as a sole researcher benefit. Some of the respondents saw only benefits for the researchers for their participation in a trial, such as things like, I need to get my papers published, I need publications, and the researchers not really caring what happened to them once the trial was over. Those negatives that are medication related, and these largely included side effects from the trial medication or the drugs not working or making them feel any better. Those that are care related, particularly if it conflicted with their current care that they are receiving, specifically related to issues of record sharing with their current care provider and their current clinical care directives. unfulfilled expectations. Having participated in a trial could create smashed hopes, really, about their meds not working, particularly when they see them working for someone else and they're not working for them. So some of the representative quotes for the positives include, with learning, education that participants in the clinical trial receive that they may not receive if they, you know, had not participated in clinical trials. Related to the sole researcher benefit, the negative. It's like, as long as we get this test in and that test, when you leave here, we don't care what you go through. We don't care what happens to you, as long as we can get them numbers. And as long as you tell us how this medicine made you feel. As long as we can get our stuff written and analyzed on paper where we can document for the next person, hey, maybe we can save the next one. The implications for practice for this. This gives us a really good understanding of how our participants and potential participants in clinical trials think about the opportunity that we're offering. It informs our social marketing and gives us an opportunity to correct erroneous information, whether it's related to how clinical trials are structured, what types of experiences they can expect to have, and also gives us a chance to market what they prioritize, what's important to people when they're considering participating in a clinical trial. And we can use that and build on that, both in how we structure them and how we educate people about clinical trials. Developing culturally appropriate recruitment strategies gives us a chance to address culturally specific barriers. Again, the literature didn't have a lot about how rural minority people living with HIV and AIDS think about clinical trials and what are some of those barriers. And so this gives us a chance to address those appropriately. Attending to negative outcomes related to participation, everything is based on perception. And if we're well aware of what some of those barriers are, what some of the negative outcomes are, we can put measures in place to address that. If childcare is going to be an issue, which everybody's pretty much aware of, you know that you have to build in some measures to address that. Clarifying the informed consent process. If we're well aware of what participant expectations are for participating in a clinical trial, both positive and negative, then we can make sure that we attend to those on the front end as a part of the informed consent process so that people aren't surprised or feel that they've been used or guinea pigged. And again, the limitations, because so few of our participants or respondents had actually been in a clinical trial, only five of them, and even that may be questionable, few of them had actually participated. So what they told us about what could be a negative outcome or a positive outcome was all hypothetical because they hadn't actually gone through, many of them had not actually gone through the process of participating, and that may actually look different if they've actually participated in the process of what they consider to be a positive, a negative, a facilitator, or a barrier. Thank you. And